I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith Colleges, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 56, final game of the regular season. Final game of the season? We don't know that yet. We'll talk more about that. Head coach Kevin DeWall's here. Welcome back.
Good morning.
63-6. You did what you had to do against Hilbert. They're a team that is trying to build like this week's opponent, Buffalo State. Just still missing some parts, and it's a numbers game. I mean, you've seen that with all the injuries you've got. You know, everybody gets injuries in football. You have the luxury of having some pretty decent backups who can step in. Teams like this just don't have that.
Yeah, really good guy. They have some good players. I think Hilbert has a plan, and if they can follow through on the plan, I think they're going to continue to get better. On that day, I thought our guys did what we needed to do, like you said, to execute and pull away. But, you know, I think what they run with that option offense is, you know, can definitely shorten the game and really maximize the possessions for them. I think we were able to have really good offensive efficiency and special teams change the field position so that at the end of the day, when it was close there in the second quarter, we were able to pull away. But, you know, I want them to continue to progress, and I hope that, you know, obviously between the coach and the players, they can kind of stay the course and continue to improve for next year.
There was that one kind of uh-oh moment when they cut it to 14-6, and really the only place you struggled in that game was with that one pitch back, Hamilton, on the right. And we were talking about this before we started recording. It's a different kind of offense than what I've seen before, where the pitch backs are coming around from one side and running to the other.
Yeah, and we knew going in. I thought our scout team did a great job trying to emulate that offense, but the speed that it took, I think it took our defense 2 to 3 possessions to kind of get a sense for how it was going to look on Saturday versus what they saw, you know, during the week. And you know, we've had a couple guys that were, you know, some of our receivers played some running backs in the scout team. We had a young man who had played that style of offense in high school, so he emulated their quarterback. I thought we gave as good of a look as we could. That being said, just someone that runs that all year round, they were just pretty efficient, and they got to the perimeter a little bit on us. I thought there was a couple times where our forced player needed to come off the block a little bit quicker. But I think our defense both adjusted and then, you know, kind of made a couple you know, minor changes as the game was progressing to then, you know, be able to get some of those negative plays. And that's where those first couple drives, we didn't get the negative plays as much. And then towards the, you know, middle of that second quarter on, you know, especially when we extended the lead, I think then they kind of fell a little bit more aggressive, and then we were getting some of those negative plays.
And we talked last week about stopping that dive part of the option, and you did that. Their dive back really wasn't able to do much, and then once that's gone, then you can really focus on that outside pitch, man.
Yeah, and the discipline was there. I mean, I thought, like, Bill Brosco played one of the best games, you know, and the stats, when it all said and done, I mean, he was our leading tackler. He was all over the place, forced fumbles. So he, at the point of attack, and along with the interior of our defense, the D linemen and the inside linebackers did a really good job stopping the dive, the fullback. And then, as always, then it becomes the numbers game on the perimeter. You know, both making sure who has the pitch, and then obviously who's forcing the quarterback. And I think the one time it was when they got to the perimeter for that touchdown, we were heavier inside, and we didn't quite get that leverage that we needed on the outside. And you know, credit to them, they were able to score to make it, you know, a one possession game in the second quarter, which is what that style of offense wants to do. Like, at one point offensively, we had the first drive, we go down and score. Our second drive took us into the second quarter, you know, and that's where we knew we were going to get less possessions with both teams kind of running the ball in the first quarter. And you know, part of that. You know, and I'll take a little bit of the blame on it. We went for it on fourth down, kind of gave them a shorter field. We were trying to maximize our possessions. It was fourth and medium. I thought we had the right play call. We didn't execute it, and that kind of gave the defense a shorter field. So that was, you know, again, partly on me and partly on the defense not getting the stop, but then ultimately the offense coming back, answering, and having those two scores, bang, bang, right before half. I thought putting it back up to, I think it was 28-6 at halftime, was important to take that 14-6 in the middle, really to the middle to the last third of the second quarter, and then pushing it to the three possessions was what we wanted to do. And then by the way that you talk about that middle half of the game, and then starting with the possession, basically in about a 6 minute game time, we scored 28 points. Very similar to the St. Lawrence game, if you remember, like the response there. So I think that momentum is important, and that's a, you know, a staple of what we've been able to do in the past with our offense. And I think when we've been able to do that this year, that momentum swing going into half and coming out of half is really critical.
your clock management, both on your part and on the team's part at the end of the half, was brilliant. You used your three timeouts on defense to get the ball back, not very much time. We were all worried whether you could get that one. I think it was a fourth down play where you converted and the clock's ticking and you were able to get up and spike the ball and score right at zero. I mean, you can't do it any better than that.
Yeah, there was one play that we missed and it kind of extended it. I thought, again, we practiced some of those situations, but it's really and I am really pleased with how we used the timeouts on defense to try to give us as much time as possible. And then, again, a shorter punt gave us even better field position. And, you know, I think between quarterback, O-line, some of the decisions, you know, it wasn't all pass. They were playing a drop eight coverage, so we ran the ball a couple times, which obviously keeps the clock running. So first downs, you know, getting up and then clocking it, and then ultimately having that decision, you know, I didn't want the field goal at that point. I thought we wanted the touchdown, you know, right there, the last play. If we don't execute that, we go it in half without getting points. So, you know, they came with all-out pressure, and we were able to create the matchup. But yeah, I was pleased with both the decisions of the guys on the field and then ultimately the clock management to get the 7 points and the touchdown.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about struggling offense so many times this year. You're, I think, 5 yards a game less than you were last year. And by the time this final game is over with Buff State, you might end up with even better offensive numbers actually than you had last year. I mean, it's a long season and things change.
Yeah, I think that was me trying to tell everyone just to pump the brakes early. I think a lot of people overreact on certain situations. Basically, the injuries we had at O-line and quarterbacks in particular, really combined with solid defensive opponents that we faced earlier in the year, I think we weren't scoring at the rate that we wanted to, but I also knew like the body of work and trust in the process of where we're going to be. Our offense has progressed throughout the year, and that's because different guys have stepped up and experienced, and you see it. Like Jeremy Weiss right now is playing really efficient ball, and he was our number three quarterback going into our first game of the year. So, again, I think we had good competition. I think the offensive line, that we've had some guys that have now gotten healthier and some guys have stepped up. And that was in a game last Saturday where we had three of our top nine not play. So, again, it's the ability to gain experience. And you know, I wish there was a magic button you could hit and all of a sudden get younger guys experience. But it requires game experience. As much as you try to practice and emulate it and watch film and walk and talk, there's nothing like the real live reps out there. And I also think it's a combination of we're playing and matching up to teams differently too. We played some really good defenses earlier in the year. I still think, you know, I'm looking at the two fourth downs we didn't convert. We should have, you know. So as a coach, we strive for, you know, raising the standard everything we do. I think there's still a lot left of this team. There's a lot of potential that we're still working on, you know, hopefully capitalizing. And not just on offense in all three phases, but I believe our offense, if you look at how many younger guys we're playing, it's going to be pretty exciting to see. You know, we're gonna honor some seniors this upcoming game, and we're going to lose some quality seniors, but we're playing a lot of younger guys that are coming back, and hopefully this experience will pay forward.
As a coach, you have to love a teachable athlete. We talked last week about Weiss holding on to the ball a little bit too long, taking some sacks. There was a first down play in that game where there's some pressure, and he just chucked it away. Hey, it's 2nd and 10. Live to play again.
Yeah, and you said it, and he was one of the guys that we thought in the Rochester game. He played really well, and statistically it looked okay, but some of our drive killers were plays that he was trying to do a little too much. And Jeremy is a great example of a young man who every single time we give him a coaching point, it resonates. He's eye contact. He will apply that every single play, and that's one of the reasons why he's continued to play so well. And hopefully some of his teammates will really kind of look at the ability to be coachable in those moments, both in the flow of a game, but especially we do a lot Sunday, Monday, all the way through the week of preparation. There's not many on our team that prepare with the same diligence that Jeremy does, and that's one of the reasons he's just increased his performance week to week.
We know that he can throw a ball with some zip on it and get it to guys for yards after the catch, but those two little fades to Johnny Harding were just beautiful touch passes.
I can't tell you the last time, it might be the first time we've ever had two fades from the 1 yard line. It just the way the situations came, you know, normally we're punching it in, and again, I'll throw whether it's 99 yards or 1 yard, but yeah, Jeremy on the one, it was just a read the defense, whether we were going to run it or throw it. He made the right decision, but a really accurate ball, and I think that's the key. And then The other one on the one-yard line in the second half was an audible that he saw. And again, taking a moment that we coached up from the RPI game and from the Rochester game and applying it. And again, you're talking about weeks ago. And here he is remembering to the moment when we had that. And that's one of the things that he's going to – it's going to be exciting to coach him and our, really all of our quarterbacks are in that moment of, like, taking those moments. All right, maybe things didn't go our way, but can we now – put that in our memory bank and make sure that next time we're in those moments, we can capitalize. And he's done a really good job this year of doing that.
And a tip of the hat to True Styles as well. He threw the ball not too many times, but threw it well when he needed to and ran the offense well.
Yeah, he started, and I thought we were doing really good things. He had really two or three really good plays. One of them was an incompletion that Marcus Peterson had dropped, but like we had practiced that. That was a carryover of a coaching moment from the Rochester game. And again, we practiced it on Tuesday in practice, and he hit it. And I that was the first thing we said when we got to the V and the sideline, which is true. That was awesome. That was one of his best plays that no one will know about because it looks like an incompletion. But he did the right read, the right throw, accurate. And obviously, that's where it takes everyone to make the plays. And even Marcus. Marcus responded later in the game with a couple plays. So just that's what I get fired up as a coach and a coordinator when maybe someone that might not see the production, but seeing how, you know, we're taking those moments of, you know, we spent time on Tuesday literally to talk about that type of defense, what they're trying to do. There's an overhang to the field. That was a free access throw to the back. He threw it really accurate. The guy dropped it, but like that still makes it a huge plus play when we're grading out our players. And like I said, I think True had a really good week. He didn't get the stats necessarily because we were running the ball a little bit more, but I thought he really managed the game and led our team. And really on the scoring drives, he was really efficient.
We've talked this year about lack of disruptiveness among the defense. You had it in this game, 13 tackles for loss. I think that's third most all time. And the defense was just really flying around to the ball and making good choices.
Yeah, and I think to do that against a triple option team is even harder in some ways. But I thought, again, I think getting to the perimeter we talked about earlier when we made a couple of those adjustments, our forced players, which oftentimes were either our outside backers or our corners because they were trying to get to the perimeter a little bit more because we had stopped the inside run, I thought the guys came up and tackled well. And I think that was the thing we practiced all week long against an option team. You know, they want to get the extra hat and be able to have the ability to get a plus one on the perimeter. And I thought our guys took away that by either, getting off blocks or forcing tackles and not just letting that guy make us miss and then getting some positive yards. So, you know, I can think of four or five guys that made some key one-on-one tackles on the perimeter, and that's how you get those tackles for a loss.
Well, and we've talked about the injuries and the opportunity for other guys to step up. I mean, two guys that stand out, Sean Myers and Abdus Salam, who probably wouldn't have been on the field very much. Now, because of injuries, they've showed themselves to be ready. So going into next year, you have no problem playing those guys in bigger roles.
Yeah, you know, Sean Myers, he's been one of our staples on special teams, young man that's really had a great, I thought his evolvement from last year as a first year to now as a sophomore, and then he's really been a staple on our kickoff cover. He's the one, and you got to be careful in some of those games. There was times where, like, when we got it rolling, our sideline was excited, but I'm like, guys, we just scored a touchdown. Get a little excited here. And I challenge, ironically, on that one, I challenge our kickoff team. I'm like, guys, don't get bored. Don't get complacent. Let's go make a play. And on that play, that's when Sean Myers goes down, forces the fumble. And you take, like we talked about, that 28-point swing in the middle of the game between those two touchdowns right before half and then the two right afterwards. We take the opening drive, we go down and score. That ensuing kickoff, that's the one where, you know, we challenged that group, and I thought our kickoff cover from our placement from the kick all the way through, Sean Myers makes the tackle, recovers it, and I just thought that gave us a short field. Taj scores right afterwards, like bang, bang. That's the momentum if you're going to beat really good teams. That's the type of game-changing type of play there. So he's done a really good job, and then you talked about Issa. Issa is a young DB, and he really got a nose for the ball, and he had a couple tackles for a loss at the corner position. I mean, he's been playing well. As a young DB, we're pretty excited about his promise, as well as a couple other young DBs that should give us the depth that we've had at corner in the past that we didn't have as much maybe last year and this year as much. We're hoping to see if some of these younger guys can keep progressing here, you know, this upcoming week as we finish the season out.
And that's one of the phases of the game we don't think about as much. You think of DBs in terms of covering receivers, but they have to be able to tackle, especially against this team, where they know they're not going to really be covering receivers very much. They're going to be coming up to the ball.
Yeah, and Issa is a young man from St. Joe's Regional in northern New Jersey that we've had some great guys from in the past, and that's big. That's really good football. And he was a safety. He was a really good tackler. Now, you look at him, he's a little bit thin. We're going to put some good weight on him. He's getting stronger. But don't ever underestimate his size, because he plays. He's not afraid to tackle, and that's one of the things we loved about him is, you know, he's going to put on good weight and get stronger as he progresses throughout his college career if he does it the right way. But he's been he's in that mix of those younger first years. He's been a part of our special teams for most of the year, and now I think you think back even in the earlier home games, you know, where he's the one that tried to undercut it. They get a big play. He's really responding well to it. He's not afraid of the challenges, and I think he, as well as these other younger guys, are not playing like freshmen anymore. They're starting to play like sophomores here later in their first year, which is a good sign of hopefully things to come for he and some of those other guys.
You talked about Myers making the kickoff coverage play, and then after that, they fair caught everything. I mean, there were a couple where it looked like they had some room to go, and they just said, no, we're just going to fair catch it. So, you know, that's great, stopping them at the 25 every time.
Yeah, and I think that's a compliment to the coverage unit when they thought that they were going to be more secure just taking it. And, you know, I think that's a testament to hopefully the just the overall aggressiveness and the execution we want to have for that unit. So, yeah, pleased with that group. And you know, we used both kickers, both Gavin and Colin. And, you know, for the most part, their placement was really good. And our coverage, they tried going both to the field and to the boundary. So when you score a lot of those points, you know, that unit got a lot of reps. And to be honestly, like, they performed pretty well throughout the game.
I don't know what more we can say about E.J. Taylor. Throw him out there, and he's good for 100 yards just about every time out. I mean, just the combination of strength and finishing runs, lowering the shoulder pads, and then the speed if he gets in the open.
Yeah, he's a special player. We knew that when we recruited him. And people are going to automatically go to the physical attributes. There's not many guys with his size and have, like you said, both the strength and the speed to be able to play physical. You know, he's a tough guy to tackle one-on-one because he can run through you or he can run around you. And I thought the offensive line, the tight ends, the running backs, the wide receivers, there was a whole unit really blocking well in that. But, like, early on, they were playing pretty well, and I thought he made some really key plays both in the run and in the passing game. And, yeah, his versatility is exciting for a coordinator because we can do a lot of different things with him from, you know, he's one of our best running backs in pass protection all the way through to throwing the ball to him. And then obviously when the ball's in his hands, he can be dangerous between the tackles all the way to the perimeter.
You got the big lead you wanted, so you were able to sit him down and then bring a whole bunch of other guys in. Tell us about Tristan Reynolds at running back. He hasn't caught a touchdown pass in his career, but now he has a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, we had a couple guys score their first touchdown in that game, which was great. You know, a handful of guys got their first tackle for loss, first tackle, those type of things. Tristan is a really dynamic athlete. Last year, you know, we used him in some capacity in the backfield. He was a kick returner. He was actually got voted in but as the top athlete, you know, just because we used him in so different ways. He was kind of like that Swiss Army knife. This year, started the season out injured. You know, honestly, that slowed down a little bit of his progress. He was out all preseason through. I think his first game was when we started up league play at Ithaca, and he was just kind of coming back, getting his legs back underneath him. He's come up with some big catches in the games, you know, maybe hasn't had as many targets just because of some of the teams we've been playing and how they've defended it, but he's dangerous in the backfield as well. And again, just was trying to find a way to get the ball in his hands and that flow of that game. I think that he's a very capable running back. When we recruited him, he was on our board at three different positions, which is a pretty good compliment if he can play offense or defense. So we were debating early on in his career, is he a running back? Is he more of a slot receiver? This year we use him more as a split end on the outside. But as a coordinator, I get excited that guys like him because their versatility allows us in different ways. And that was just kind of both a compliment to him to kind of get the ball in his hands and let him know that we still see that he's still progressing and the future is pretty bright for him. And just in the flow of the game, you know, with us running it, you know, we had a young man that was out at running back, so he had kind of gotten some reps. And just another, again, as an offense, if we can add in some complementary players, you know, you talk about some guys, a lot of these guys are coming back. We want to just continue to evolve our offense with as much explosiveness and productivity as possible.
One senior is Taj Jackson. We've been saying he could probably start for a lot of teams in the Liberty League. He's been behind some pretty darn good running backs in his 4 years at Hobart, but those players are huge for what they do in practice and for accepting that role and playing it the best they can.
Yeah, Taj is one of the guys that, like, I think he's a glue guy. Like, he he had a really bad injury his first game in his freshman year. Like, he was popping. He was one of those freshmen we were going to talk about. He was on our kick return. He was out there, has a really explosive play, and unfortunately had an injury that, you know, took him that year, but it took him about 2 years to truly fully recover from. And then the last 2 years, he's been progressing, and, you know, you see he's a guy that I love having the ball in his hands. I trust him. That's why he's one of our top returners. He's back there, obviously. And again, with EJ, you know, Taj is a guy that I think just is capable and has done a lot of really good things. So, you know, we're excited for him. And that was where, like, that run, that touchdown run was pretty awesome to see. And it was interesting because the series before, we were ready to run it in with him, and that's when we had called the audible and we threw it from the 1 yard line. And I looked right at him. I said, "We're going to get you the next one." You know, just, and he's truly a team first guy. Like, he never has once complained about, like, you know, getting even his touches, but he's a guy that I want those touches for because I've been so proud of how he's recovered from the injury. It was a really hard injury for him to recover because, I mean, you're talking about he was one of our top recruits, really explosive, and all of a sudden he lost that explosiveness for a couple of years while he was recovering. And now being back and just knowing how hard he worked, his perseverance, you know, the type of young man he is. He's a great leader on and off the field. I mean, we love him, and that's why, like, he's so held in high regard, not just by me, but the rest of the staff and his teammates.
And then Byron Maddox Jr., if I remember correctly, he's played on both sides of the ball. He's gone back and forth a couple of times in his career, hasn't he?
No, he's been offensive the entire time, but we've used him in special teams a little bit. You know, so he's been on kickoff cover, kickoff return. You know, he's always been an explosive one. Another one from Northern New Jersey, really good, you know, that same conference, same school as Issa, as we talked about. So came in and you know, I think the first year or two was kind of learning the offense, kind of gaining some strength and you know, he's a guy when the ball's in his hands can do some really good things. And, you know, he got his first touchdown as well, along with Tristan on that day. And honestly, like, he had a couple of good runs, you know, put the ball on the ground on one, and we talked about it. And again, how he responded was really good. His next touch is the one that goes for the touchdown. And so I think it was pretty good. And on that play, he had to make a guy miss, you know, accelerated down the sideline. So, you know, again, another young man that's done really good things here and is hopefully going to finish his senior year on a strong note.
When you talk about contributions that don't show up in the box score, Rucker has probably saved 15 points in his career on holds. I mean, you high snap, he gets it down. Low snap, he scoops it, gets it down. Montaigne hit 9 extra points, tying a game record for Hobart.
Yeah, those the operations for those special teams is so important. And that was a position I played. I was a holder back in the day, and just usually you want to put someone there that's just trustworthy and reliable. And Jackson is, that's why he's on our hands team. You know, a great quarterback, but we ultimately moved him to wide receiver just because he's a really good athlete. He's going to be a leader, and you're going to see him coaching on the sideline, I think, when his playing career is done. He's just one of those guys that, like, he gets it. And so, yeah, we're pleased with him. But, like, the kickers truly trust him, similar to where Johnny Columbia was their holder before. Those kickers kind of lean towards, you know, they got to have 3 or 4 guys ready to hold for him. But at the end of the day, they really trust Jackson, and he's proven, you know, that he can handle, if it isn't a perfect snap, he's going to be able to get it down. And then he's really done some really good things between special teams and other facets. You know, he's a punter. He's kind of another guy that just athletically has done so many different things, you know.
And, second baseman.
Yeah, multiple, yeah. And in that game, we used him at quarterback just because of, you know, obviously where we were health going into that one. But, no, he's a really good young man. And, again, as a sophomore, we're excited about his leadership and what he can continue to add moving forward.
Senior day at Boswell Field this Saturday. Buffalo State comes in. You've had little trouble with them, although the last two home games, they've scored 21 points each time. They're a team like Hilbert trying to build, and a lot of it's just numbers. They're not deep. That translates to special teams trouble. We saw Hilbert have trouble punting. Buff State hasn't been a great punting team, but they have the building blocks of future success, I think, in place.
Yeah, I look at them differently than Hilbert. I think they're more talented and deeper. I think there's some playmakers they have that you know, Hilbert was more the style of offense, and then they had a couple of good young men, but I thought we could win at the line of scrimmage. Buff State's going to be really large. I mean, they get some big guys on their offensive line. They have a couple of really good skill offensive guys, so they can go pop it at any time. That's dangerous. And then on defense, they're really sound and disciplined. Actually, at their place last year, you know, Johnny was out. We started True in his first start, and offensively, we were moving the ball. We're not getting a lot of points. Mike McGee had the pick six early on to get us the 7-0 lead that we scored right before half. But, like, really, there was the ensuing kickoff. We put the ball on the ground, turnovers. Our defense got some key stops. Like, that was a really close game. We end up hitting a couple plays and pulling away, so the score looked better. But as in that moment, that was a game that they played us all hard for four quarters. That was at their place last year. I remember 2 years ago on senior day, they went down, took the opening drive, went down and ran it down our throats and pounded it in. And that was a similar team with the same type of quarterback. Their quarterback's a guy that has made every defense he's played miss. He's elusive. I know they've given up some sacks, but he can extend a play at any time. We had a handful of sacks on him 2 years ago, and at the same time, he still got out of probably five or six. So we're going to have to do a really good job tackling him. They have a couple of receivers and a couple of running backs at skill position that literally can take it at any time and go the distance. One of the young men is a young man we recruited who's having a really good year. He's going to be up for Rookie of the Year in the conference, and I think he'll have a really good opportunity to be in that conversation. And then on defense,
also a dangerous kickoff returner.
Yeah, he scored last week on a kickoff return, a run, and he threw it. Like, he was a part of all three touchdowns, and as they had a really close game against St. Lawrence. And then on defense, just knowing their head coach, knowing their coordinator, they're sound, they're aggressive, they're going to be in the right spots, and they play fast, they play hard. So we're going to have to execute well. Not so much to say, like, hey, there's any one guy. They have an outside backer, number 31, who's really dynamic. He's going to be in the all-conference conversation. He's been there for a couple years. He's been a multiple-year starter and leader for him. And then number 29, a bigger safety who's going to be right in the middle, plays like a linebacker. So those are the two leading tacklers. We know they're going to be around the ball. They've forced fumbles. They've forced interceptions. They take it away from teams because they're so aggressive, and they've done that the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago against Ithaca, you know, they forced some interceptions. Last week, it was forced fumbles on back-to-back possessions that helped their defense set up points for their offense. So very similar, honestly, to the Rochester game plan. It's a defense that you got to do a really good job making sure that the negative play both doesn't kill you in drives, which we saw in Rochester, and then those turnovers is what kind of got Rochester back in the game. We feel like Buff State's going to be very similar. Different style of defense, a little bit more aggressive, but they're going to make sure that they're going to try to rip the ball out. They're going to be in positions for takeaways. We got to be really efficient with our end, is like not only just moving the ball, making sure we're not giving our defense a short field, or worse, you know, putting points on the board, which we've done at times this year that have hurt us in some games. And hopefully the maturity, that maturation that we've talked about from the quarterback play of the O-line and those handling the football, you know, we put the ball on the ground a couple times against Hilbert that we felt like that was on us as much as it was on them. So really taking care of the ball. We talk about TCB all the time and controlling our controllables. I think that's going to be the key for the offense in this game, as we want to, you know, get off and give our defense a lead if we can early in the game so that they can't be patient in the run game.
One of the things that Buffalo State's done best is stopping the pass. Is it a nickel base? Do they play like a 3-3-5 look?
They've moved. They're originally a four-man front. I think probably because of some of their personnel and some of their injuries, they've gone to a more of an odd front. And you're going to see they're going to pinch it, but they're going to move and stunt on every single play out of a base 3-4 alignment. They will play, like I said, that safety is a linebacker, and then they will play some different nickel and dime packages where they bring some extra DBs on. They're very athletic. This is going to be one of the more athletic teams we face. They are mixing in some younger guys as well. I think partly because of either personnel decisions or injuries, as we've seen them, you know, through video. But they're very capable, and it's like I said, it's going to be a matter of we're not going to necessarily out athlete them. We're going to have to out execute them. And I think hopefully our guys can continue on, because the last couple of games offensively we've been able to hit at a higher efficiency and give our defense some leads, and I think that's been very helpful. You know, whether that was the St. Lawrence game coming out of the bye week, whether that was the Rochester game, where ultimately then we had to win it late. And then obviously against Hilbert, you know, extending that lead, that's going to be really important for us in this game.
I'm not assuming a win, and I'm not giving bulletin board material to the other guys, but if you win and you do finish 5-5, take us through the bowl scenario. There are 16 teams who've declared for ECAC bowl games. Now, some of those will probably get NCAA bids, so how does it work in terms of how many games are there, and what are your chances of getting a bowl at 5-5?
Yeah, it's. I wish we were in a better position than 5-5, but if we were able to earn a victory on Saturday, and again, that's the focus for everyone. We got to get that one to at least be bowl eligible. you know, we'll be on a 4-game winning streak. We have a couple quality wins, you know, over teams that, you know, I think are going to hopefully show that selection committee that we're a deserving team. That being said, there's going to be some teams with better records that have put in. You know, the declaration, you had to put it in by this past Monday, but really you have all the way to Saturday. So there's going to be other teams that aren't on that list yet. They're going to add in. You know, RPI just added. They're hoping they're hoping with a win that they're going to make it. So there's a lot of things that are what-if scenarios of what could happen this upcoming Saturday. We have to win to get to 5-5 is the first thing that we need to control. From there, then we'll be able to see kind of which teams, like you said, made the NCAA tournament. That have put in for it. There's a couple teams that should have and already have qualified or could win on Saturday and then ultimately win that. Our conference is obviously up and to be determined on a couple scenarios this week. I also think there's a couple teams that have put in that might be selected into conference alignment bowl games. So right now the Liberty League doesn't have that. We used to have that New York Bowl the runner-up from the Liberty League would play the runner-up for the Empire 8. The Empire 8 no longer wanted to do that. So that's why we've put ourselves back in the ECAC conversation. You know, obviously early on our goal, just like last year, was to be playing in the NCAA playoffs. I also think it's really important if the team's excited to do it, and that's the big thing, is like we got to be excited to do it. It's an opportunity for a postseason game, which you work so hard throughout the year. To me, it's a no-brainer that if we can, even if we're banged up, we're going to try to go put our best foot forward and try to finish with a quality win against a quality opponent. I think right now I would say we're maybe a 50-50, you know, based off of the ECAC typically has 3 bowl games with a choice to pick a fourth. So at most they're picking 8 teams. You know, I think there's some teams like by the time, you know, a 7-3 or an 8-2 or even a 6-4, are they looking at just at record or are they looking at body of work? If they look at our body of work, I think we're deserving of it. You know, I think the quality win over Utica right now that has a chance to, you know, be, you know, number 2 in their conference. They play Brockport this week. There's a whole lot of scenarios of teams. You know, Rochester could potentially finish either 5-5 or 6-4. We have a win over them. You know, there's teams that, you know, who beat who, all these things. I don't know what the committee is going to ultimately do. And I've asked our players not to really look too much into that because really a lot of it's out of our control at this point. The thing we can do is can we go play a really strong game, show efficiently, and show that we've finished strong. We're on a 4-game winning streak if we earn a victory on Saturday. That's going to be the thing that maybe a team or a committee will look at and say, not only are they, you know, they're 5-5, but they're trending the right way. You know, we're a much different team lately than when we've been a little bit healthier with a little bit more experience. You know, we're a much different team than when we were those first couple of games. And those are games of, you look at a couple of those losses, those teams have done really well, and we were right in the mix to beating those teams. So, you know, that part's out of our control, which is the unfortunate part. But I know one thing is we want to finish. We got to presume that this is our last game, and we're going to attack it with that type of mindset and focus. We want the seniors to be able to go out. If this is our last time on Boswell Field, we want to make sure that, you know, without taking anyone for granted, regardless if our opponent was 9-0 or 0-9, we're going to focus on, you know, Buff State and finishing strong. If we are able to earn the victory, we'll find out on Monday if we get another opportunity to go compete and play. And my hunch is just watching these guys, you know, we're building some momentum. I see, you know, a much different team today than I see, you know, earlier in the season. And not just from, you know, wins and losses, but just the, you know, the focus of our leaders, the guys that have stepped up from a productivity standpoint. And I think that's one of my goals as a coach is like, let's play the season as long as we can. And whether you're a senior and this is your last game, can you get a +1? I know those seniors would say yes with no hesitation, you know, but that extra week of practice, that extra opportunity to compete is important for everyone from a senior all the way down to a first year that might just get that much better in 1 week or an opportunity to step up and play and compete. And, you know, our goal for our program is to be playing into December and games that are meaningful. And we said that yesterday. Yesterday was a cold day, and we were out on Boswell Field, and I looked him in the eye and said, what an awesome privilege it is. You know, this is a goal to be playing when it's cold. You know, a lot of teams would love to have the opportunity to play meaningful games late in the season. And we've been fortunate over the years. There's a tradition here to have played in the postseason, and I don't look down on as much as we want it to be an NCAA game, if we earn an opportunity to play in a bowl game, that's an awesome opportunity. I can tell you numerous teams that use those opportunities to kind of finish strong and take that momentum and catapult into what would be the start of the next season. We're not there yet. We're not even talking about that yet. But it's all about finishing strong. And I think when our record wasn't where we wanted to be early in the year, I challenged the guys. It's going to be, you're going to remember how you finish more than sometimes how you start. And I think the guys have embraced it the right way. And that's why our goal is to, today, Wednesday, have our best practice we've had. And can we carry that over into tomorrow and into Thursday's practice and then ultimately carry over into Saturday? I think that's part of the reason we're playing better. I think the guys have put their focus in the right spots. But it's a testament to the leadership group. They've focused 1 week at a time. I think they had a little bit too big of a bullseye on them early. I think we've done a really good job calibrating it and saying, oh, this is really about this week. And that's where I've really tried to squash any type of talk of what's next week. We don't know if we're going to get next week. What we do know is we have today and tomorrow to prepare for a game on Saturday. And I think our guys are going to be focused. It would be an awesome way to honor those seniors by not focusing on their last, but making it their hopefully one of their best games as a team and as a unit, because you're going to remember that. A quality win, sometimes more than one play, and hopefully give a lot of hugs and handshakes after the game as if we earn that victory.
1 o'clock kickoff Saturday. Get there early for Senior Day festivities. You can find this podcast, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And you can get all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. We talked about it. At 1-5, you could have folded the tent. You didn't do it. The guys didn't do it. And they've got something to play for now.
Absolutely. And hopefully we're going to go get our next 1-0.